I played it for the PC though. I had what's it called? I'm sorry. I had some issues with having a PC that would run it. My friends all play. Like I would play 360 like with some friends of mine that had it. Like I think my first big soiree into the 360 was Gears of War with some friends of mine that had it. And I mean, I had a lot of fun doing it. I don't know, for some reason, I never really saw the appeal into getting a 360, even though I knew the online community was really big. I don't know. It's I think it was also a monetary issue for me too. I mean, I was cool with my PS2, and then you know my friends modded it for me or whatever. I would play games for super cheap. You know, I couldn't really do that with a 360, so I was obviously gonna keep me leaning more towards that side. But
yeah.
But let me tell you, now that when I did finally get my 360 and I started getting myself a little more involved in the online community, I think a big part of it was GT, as a matter of fact. Like most of my friends and my friends list are all people on GT, and it would be great to go out and buy games and make sure that there were people that would be able to play them with me. And you see, while Xbox Live, maybe it's probably not that much different in comparison to what it used to be. However many years ago when Halo 2 came out, I definitely saw really, really big change.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a pretty integral part as far as gaming goes. Like, I mean, now you have people that are playing or reviewing games, and they're shunning them if they don't come with some sort of online play, even to the point of it's just leaderboards.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, games like BioShock. BioShock is one of my favorite Xbox games, Xbox 360. I don't consider myself a huge shooter fan. I'm more of, action adventure, the performers, that kind of stuff. but I played BioShock, and it kind of brought me into the first-person shooters. But the point I'm trying to get to is, the sequel came out to BioShock 2, obviously. And, like, that has multiplayer. Like, a game that certainly didn't need it ended up getting multiplayer. I think that that's just becoming common.
Well, I mean, for some games, it just doesn't really work out too well, I mean, like, people are expecting what? With, like, Super Mario Galaxy, for example, you're talking about a game that's been a platformer for God knows how many years, and I mean, it might have had some two-player action going on, but excuse me. I think they definitely, well, as far as online gaming goes, it's pretty obvious to say that Nintendo's been very slack with that, especially since when we, like, for example, I remember hearing, I remember how I felt when I heard that a new Super Mario Brothers Wii was only going to be local multiplayer, a game that they were touting it as having like a crazy multiplayer experience, and only you and a couple of friends are only going to be able to experience it. It's kind of disconcerting at any rate.
Yeah, on one hand, it's kind of nice to see that there are still some games out there that do support local co-op, because I mean, a lot of the times, games will have the online and won't have the option for local co-op anymore. So on that hand, it's kind of cool that you can do that, but I feel like it couldn't have been that much more difficult to throw in the online multiplayer. I mean, although they did say that was just a conscious decision on their part. Like, they wanted it to be local and not have online, so I guess you can't fault them for having a vision and wanting to stick with it, I guess.
While we're on the subject, a personal question for you guys. Do you prefer couch co-op or couch playing against each other, or do you prefer the online aspect?
I was never really one for doing, the couch, like the local co-op. The last time, I think aside from maybe Left 4 Dead, which wasn't really that good of an experience because the game experience. Like,
I love that series.
Well, let me tell you, on the 360, at least with the first one, I actually haven't played the second one, but when I would play the first one on the Xbox, if you were doing the couch co-op, you know, it was like the game wouldn't run anywhere near as smooth. Like, you'd kind of get some choppiness in the frame rate and stuff like that. But the last game I played before Left 4 Dead couch co-op was probably Gears of War 2, that I had bought a copy and my friend came over and we beat it like that same day. And it's fun to have people like there with you, and then, you know, it's also easier to, you know, be able to take breaks and stuff like that, and then, you know, just come back to it. Like, you know, I would make a break for lunch or just to chill, and, you know, and like, you can make a nice day out of playing some good offline co-op stuff. So
yeah, absolutely.
But definitely, I prefer online co-op a lot more if it's with friends. You know, a lot of games you can just randomly pair up with whomever, you know, just do matchmaking. And, I mean, especially with PSN it doesn't work as well because, you know, not everyone's required to have headsets and stuff like that. Like, for the most part, people with 360s do. So it's really difficult to communicate any kind of interesting things or tactics and stuff with people that are, you know, that you don't know, or that you meet up with them through matchmaking.
Yeah, that makes sense. Chad, how do you feel about it?
I'd say if I had to choose, I would definitely choose the option to have online multiplayer rather than local, because for the most part, most of the people I know just aren't real big gamers, like just aren't into games that much. So anytime I would want to play multiplayer, it's best for me to hop on online. Although I have to say that probably the best multiplayer experiences I've had were with Smash Brothers Brawl last year, when I had a bunch of friends in residence, and there would be probably at least once a week where we would just stay up all night and drink and play Smash Brothers, and it was a good time.
Now this came out, me and my friend got it at the midnight release, up for the next 19 hours playing it, and unlocked all the characters within the first day.
Oh man, wow.
Well, that's pretty impressive, actually.
I want to say it was about 3 years ago. I went to Boston to visit my friend Gio, he's actually on a Game Tavern. He's a Take Giant Steps. He's, you know, he's always been really big into Brawl. He's very good, and I'm pretty sure there was a bunch of nights where if it wasn't just me, him, and our friend, our mutual friend Danny, that he went up there with me that year. It wasn't just the three of us just beating the piss out of each other, excuse me, for hours on end. It was probably him and some other friends that would just come over, and they'd all bring GameCube controllers and shit like that, because we never had enough. And it's the thing with Brawl, I really wish the netcode could have been done a lot better, man. There's a couple other games that I think, like Mario Kart Wii, for example, that just had so much better netcode, and it was so much more fun to play like online there, when you wouldn't be, you know, either waiting forever for a match or playing against someone and just have everything be super choppy. Like, I think a couple people ran into that when we tried to do the Brawl tournament for Game Tavern a while ago.
Yeah, I was in that.
Yeah,
I won that.
I was in it too. I actually lost because who was it? Earl. Earl decided to be nice and cheap, and he knocked me off the map using a gun in a match that was supposed to have no items.
Wow.
Yeah, that wasn't too fun.
Yeah, he was the one I played against in the finals. Actually, it was Earl.
Was this the one that after you finished the tournament that you would actually play against Gio? If you won the tournament?
That might have been it, yeah.
Yeah, because I knew that he wanted to run it because the one before was kind of like lackluster, and he didn't want to throw himself into it, but I remember the big thing with him was that was what you would get to do if you won the tournament, that you would get to play a match against him.
Yeah, I remember that now. I forget what happened. I know it was some pretty good matches, though. He's definitely really skilled.
Yeah, he's been playing religiously Melee, like since the Melee days, probably even the Nintendo 64 ones, but I tried playing that, I want to say it was about a year and a half ago, and it was just not the same, man. They've definitely tweaked it to be something different.
Yeah, I brawl.
Yeah, it definitely is.
But yeah. Well, hopefully Nintendo's gonna kind of get more on the ball as far as like the online play stuff is. I mean, I don't remember who it was that started the thread. I think it might have been you, Chad. That Nintendo's kind of getting into this whole kind of arrogance thing with how they're trying to market and how they're trying to develop, you know, new games or new consoles or whatever.
No, I don't think that was me, actually. No, that was not. I commented on it, though, briefly.
It started getting a little bit too, it started getting a little bit too long for me to read. I'm pretty sure it was very, you know, a little bit too argumentative for my taste as far as an online debate goes, you know, internet serious business and all that stuff. But it is kind of sad, you know. I mean, you would think that, especially the Nintendo 64, that they had so much. I remember the N64 being a console that I did a lot of couch co-op with, especially with like GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, for example. You would think that they'd want to like take that to their advantage, especially with companies now that they know that online gaming sells. You know, they're like you said that a lot, or Chad, that a lot of people are making games that they don't have local co-op anymore. And I see that one as a incentive to get one more people to play online, and two, just an incentive to get more money, because if you have friends that they all just come over and play one copy of the game, you know, that's people that are getting playing time, and they should be giving the company money. So they're going to want them to go out and buy their own copy so they can sit and play it at home. You know, it's a marketing deal, and you would think, you know, Nintendo loves to get money. They would try and get on that, but they don't.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I mean, it's weird to look back at the Xbox Live that was on the original Xbox, and I was watching the Giant Bomb live stream of when it was supposed to go offline, and some of the stuff that they were doing, I mean, just with the friends list setups and everything that they had going, it was really well done. And to see this is a whole generation later, and the Wii is just nowhere near as streamlined as the original Xbox even was. So it's kind of strange to see it like that.
Yeah, I don't remember getting into many other games that were online as far as Halo 2 went. Even on the PS2, I don't remember playing many games. I think, well, most of the PS2 online stuff, I think it was either excuse me, it was either SOCOM, Final Fantasy XI, and Metal Gear Solid 3 had a pretty good online component that I remember they shut off the servers a while ago, and it made a lot of people angry, because the only way to play Metal Gear online before Metal Gear Solid 4 was Metal Gear Portable Ops on the PSP.
All right. Yep.
Yeah. So. I don't. Yeah, that's the thing. If any, that I mean, you know, hats off to Microsoft. They came up with a really good system, and I'm sure it was more because they had a really, really good financial backing off of that. I mean, not to say that Sony doesn't, you know, Sony never made much money. I mean, they have an entire like line of electronics to be supporting them. But you're talking about Microsoft, that everyone has a PC with Windows XP, or there's just so much money coming from that.
Well, that's more Microsoft's space as well. I mean, Sony and Nintendo have always been manufacturers of like hardware and consumer products like that, whereas Microsoft has always been like computers, online, all of that business. So it's more in their wheelhouse to be pioneering that kind of system, I think.
But yeah, man, I'm pretty sure we can all kind of, you know, give a round of applause to Microsoft for starting something that definitely made hats off to them. They made a pretty good step in the right direction. I'm pretty sure they said, well, yeah, online gaming is going to be a big deal, because look what it did for the PC. So the only thing I guess we can say about all of that is that, I mean, Sony's kind of stepping their game up a little bit. I mean, maybe not as far as like party chat and stuff, but let's hope that Nintendo will kind of, you know, come along in its wake.
Yeah, maybe. We'll have to see. I mean, for the most part, I think the type of crowd that Nintendo's going after right now is not the crowd that's into online gaming. So,
Yeah,
who knows?
absolutely.
Well,
We'll have to see how it goes.
all right, guys. Well, we're going to go ahead and move into our question of the week segment. The question of the week this week, brought to you by Mike. Question is, are video games getting too difficult? How do you guys feel about that?
Short answer, no. I would say video games these days are considerably easier than they were in the NES days, although that's mainly because in those days you'd have a game that's 3 or 4 hours long and you'd have to have consumers get their money's worth out of it. So you just make it balls hard, and that's how you kind of artificially lengthen a game. Whereas today, you don't have to do that because you can make longer experiences, and in turn, they've just become easier, I think.
I would like to see maybe a little bit more difficulty in my games, to be honest with you. Because I mean, obviously, yeah, there's the adjustable difficulties for people that, they want to just start out hardcore, balls to the wall, they're ready to go. But I mean, sometimes it'd be fun to just not give people that option. I mean, for example, the perfect example was Demon's Souls. That game, I actually own it. I haven't been playing much of it recently because most of my playtime when it was done through a rental because I rented it from a GameFly kiosk on my school campus, and I picked it up. And let me tell you, that game is tough. They don't like to pull the punches with it. And the online, like especially if you play online, it doesn't make it any easier. Like I don't know if any of you guys know or if anyone else or that's probably going to be listening. It has any background on it, but pretty much you are a warrior and you start out, and right in the beginning of the game you get killed, and as soon as you get killed, your body comes back in like a soul form, and you have half of your health, but your attack, like your physical attack strength, is raised. And if you run around, I mean, there's all kinds of cheap traps that kill you instantly, and if you die, then you lose any souls that you might have accumulated from killing monsters. And souls, they can be spent towards stat increases or weapon sharpening, weapon repair. It's basically your currency and your experience. So playing a game like that, it was definitely very very refreshing as far as playing something that was difficult goes. I mean, yeah, okay, they have virtual console games or whatnot for people that, they still want to play the older stuff. But what about the people that, they don't have a Wii, for example, or they don't have the means of playing an old school game that they really liked or they were really interested in? They might not be able to get all of that. While I also think that, there's not going to be very many people that are going to be interested in playing something that they can't finish. But that's also part of just the general audience I think video games are getting nowadays.
Yeah, I agree with you guys that video games now are not as difficult as they used to be. And that a good example of that is pretty much any where, there's really no health bar. Like you'll get shot a couple times, but then if you just run behind cover, then your screen stops turning instantly.
Hold on 1 second, Chad. You're getting kind of choppy. Okay. Try that again.
I wasn't saying anything.
No, I'm sorry, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry about that, Matt.
Yeah, it was a little choppy there.
Well, with older video games, such as the Mario games, for example, there was a th there was no save system, which I definitely every time you start the game early, you have to start from the beginning. Is now it take me a while to think of a current game and have a system to it. And I think another interesting thing subject. With modern games, you have the aspect of the internet. they made it's kind of obsolete. Because anything you need to know about a game from its anything about it, codes or whatever, you can find online without spending any money. Have like strategy that would point out that kind of stuff to you. But back when it was just like the Mario games and the classic Nintendo games, if you wanted to find a secret in the game, you pretty much find it yourself. Like my sister was born in the 80s, and as far as like the Mario games go, and she knew where every secret sock was and how to get every secret green sock. But that's because she played the games for hours on end and figured it out herself. She didn't go online and to a nice little PDF file that says, "You're here." I just think that's kind of interesting. It shows how technology has kind of changed society.
Yeah, that's good because it seems like, I mean, if you're the type of person who really wants to get that sense of achievement out of finding something or out of completing a really hard puzzle, then you can totally do that. But if you just want to play the game and get the experience, then you're 10 seconds away from finding the answer on the internet so you can finish the game however you want, type of thing. I think a good example of difficulty done right is Bayonetta because that's a game where part of the draw is you do crazy things, and just some of the ridiculous combos you do are just great to look at. And
I completely.
on the easy mode, it's just literally one button. You hit one button, and crazy stuff happens. So if you want to play on the higher difficulties and execute these combos yourself, then like there's a great sense of accomplishment there because you are doing crazy things. Or if you just want to see crazy things happen, you can totally put it down on this one button mode and just watch stuff happen.
Exactly. I think right, Bayonetta did that perfectly with kind of giving you the option. And I think it's kind of funny because it came from the creators of the Devil May Cry series, which is notoriously difficult. I think they kind of learned their lesson.
Matt, you're kind of getting choppy again, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem.
Let me see if I can see if I can throw in an interesting little tidbit. I think the for me strategy guides definitely like you had mentioned before, strategy guides definitely they used to be a pretty big part of gaming, and I mean I can barely like I look up in my bookshelf now and I could probably count all the strategy guides that I have on two hands. And it's pretty rough, but what's it called? I think like you said, man, GameFAQs, for example, GameFAQs has been around for years, and I guess not many people had easy access to the internet. And I used to remember checking GameFAQs for a lot of stuff, but that's another thing though. I mean. Games I think are a little too easy, not so much easy in difficulty, like for example in first person or third person shooters, like combat wise, they're a little too easy to actually figure out, Like you would play some games and like for example the first Zelda, they would just you started your game and you were there in the middle of nowhere and they just said go. Find whatever, just go off and have a whole bunch of fun. That was I believe Zelda was the first game, the first NES game to use a save system, if I remember correctly. And I mean, that was obviously a big deal, but I'm sure that you can make use of it. Playing for hours on end, I had to look up for a strategy guide when I wanted to play it because, I mean, there would get to these points where you would try and find these dungeons and there was at, like you just had no clue. You just throw a random rock somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and you would end up with another dungeon, and then the dungeons were hard as hell. So I think that's definitely another reason why strategy guides and things like that aren't very popular. They're too easy to figure out. Even Resident Evil and Silent Hill were games that were pretty difficult because you always had to be very sparing, you had to use your ammo and things like that very sparingly, but they have some pretty complicated puzzles like Have any of you guys played the original Silent Hill, first one, for the PlayStation?
I have not.
No, I have not.
Well,
so it looks like neither of us have.
Well, I highly recommend it, first of all. And second, like, there's a puzzle there that, I mean, if anyone else has ever played Silent Hill before, they'll know about it. It's a puzzle with a piano in a kid's school. That puzzle still gets me to this day. That I, like, sometimes I remember it, after, I don't know, like maybe a half an hour, I'll just kind of give up and go look for a guide. I still do that to this day whenever I play through it again.
Yeah, speaking of, this is a little tangent, but, speaking of I'm sure both of you guys played the original Pokemon games, you know, the blue, red, yellow.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Like, I grew up on those. To this day, play Pokemon. I got Heart Gold, or not Heart Gold, Soul Silver recently.
Hell yeah, I got that too.
But yeah, no. I remember I played through Red and Blue so much that if you guys remember I think it was like called the Dark Dungeon, like that. Whichever dungeon it was that you needed Flash for.
Okay.
I used Flash a couple times, but after that, I'd done it so much that I didn't even have to use Flash. I could know exactly which button movements to press.
Oh, wow.
And I was pretty proud of that.
You know what? Talking about Pokemon with this whole difficulty thing might actually not be all that off tangent, because let me tell you, I've, like, playing now the Fire Red and Leaf Green remakes, for example, Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum, and now Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you know, I think they're getting a little bit tougher, you know? I remember playing through the old school Pokemon, like the Red, Blue, even the original Gold and Silver. Like, you just sit there and kind of grind out your starter Pokemon. And, you know, he would stay with you and just kind of kick ass and take names for I don't know how long. And like now I'm seeing that, you know, you really have to have a balanced party and, you know, the types and all that stuff, that it really matters a lot more than it used to. So it definitely added a pretty big difficulty layer to the game.
Yeah, especially you're talking about Silver, and most of the old Pokemon games, one kind of beat the like highest people, like, and their levels are somewhere on the 50 level 50 area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when your Pokemon get to, you know, level 60, it becomes hard to level them up. You've got nobody. But now with, you know, Soul Silver and Diamond and Pearl to some extent, you know, they've got the higher up level trainers. I think Ash has put 80. And, you know, back to the difficulty, that they're kind of giving us a little bit more of a challenge. Plus with the Pokemon games, you know, you've got the online aspect now where you can fight trainers all over the world. And I think that's a very cool aspect.
Yeah, I definitely felt that a better multiplayer was a big aspect. I like the Wi-Fi with Pokemon more, mostly for the global trading service. That was actually a really good idea that was actually ended up being implemented very well. What was I going to say? But yeah. Back to difficulty. I think with shooters, obviously shooters, they are going to be a lot more like the first person shooters. There's going to be a lot more linear. You know, you want to get like how much puzzles can you add with what's it called, with just running around and shooting, shooting people like right straight in the face. Like the big deal, I remember. Half-Life 2, I liked that whole aspect that, you know, it was a puzzle game as much as it was a first-person shooter, and they definitely balanced it out really well. But I guess their way of extending the playtime is, you know, doing the constant run-throughs on the higher difficulties. You know, like, I don't think I could have beaten Gears of War 1 or 2, for example, by myself on insane difficulty. So you definitely get a lot of playtime when trying to, you know, to clear out people, you know, with a friend, since there's not really many ways to extend your game time, like Chad has been talking about. with the old school games that you'd only play them for a couple hours.
I've got a related question, difficulty thing. Often, like, when you part where you're kind of stuck, how long does it take you before you check out a walkthrough?
I'd say for me, it probably takes, I want to say, like, maybe about in the 15 minutes to a half an hour range.
I find usually I'm pretty stubborn when it comes to stuff like that. So I will usually not check out anything until I'm fairly certain I know what you're supposed to do and it's not working. Like, that happened in God of War 3. There was one puzzle where you have to push a block or something, and somehow the block had got turned 45 degrees from where it should have been, and you can only, like, turn the block 90 degrees, so no matter what, I couldn't get it back to the direction it was supposed to face. So after, I mean, messing with that puzzle, must have been half an hour, 45 minutes or so, I looked it up, and I was like, okay, yeah, this just must be a glitch or something. That ended up being, like, a game-breaking glitch, and I had to start the game over, which, I mean, if you're going to pick one game you have to start over, God of War 3 is not a bad one to do it with.
Definitely not.
Yeah, I personally, like, I'll be playing a game, and if I get to a part that I'm that is difficult, it takes me, I'd say, like, an hour or so before I, you know, like, an online walkthrough or something, like, figure it out if it's, like, a puzzle or whatever. But if I just simply cannot get it, then, you know, like Michael went, Game Facts, I think Game Facts, if we're done talking about this, talk about our final segment, which, are we just calling it, is that, do we have for this third segment?
I don't know, I guess, but it, what was that? I think we were just going to talk about stuff that's happening in the future. I don't think we have a name for it yet, so, title pending, how about that?
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, anyone listening, if you have idea that our theme for this segment, then by all means, let us know. So, we're going to talk about the recent news that Joss of Buffy and Angel fame is going to be directing the Avengers fame. So, yeah, what do you guys think?
I'm definitely a big fan of Joss Whedon. I'm not, I actually haven't seen any of, you know, the Buffy or Angel stuff, or actually Firefly and Serenity, now that I think about it. I definitely enjoyed Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. I think he did a fantastic job with that. I've been looking into some of his other works, maybe not getting completely involved in it. Like, I think I maybe seen an episode of Firefly or two. But I'm actually generally excited. I mean, it's not like he's what's it called? I believe he's written some comics. I believe Earl had mentioned to me that he's written, like, the Astonishing X-Men and stuff like that. So, I mean, he definitely knows. I'm pretty sure he knows how to write a decent or work with a decent comic book script, or at least be able to flesh one out.
Absolutely.
I think he's more than capable. From all the stuff that I've seen him do and how well it's ended up working out, I mean, I'm well under the impression that Joss Whedon could come up with a scheme to, you know, take over the world, but, you know, Fox would cancel in its first season like everything else. But, you know, that's my own personal opinion.
Or show the plan out of order. 12 for Firefly, so. But yeah, no, I think it's interesting. You know, I Buffy, but I watched the last Angel, that was, and I love that series. I own the full, I haven't gotten around to watching all of it yet, but I series, I think Joss is a great decision for it. I think enough knowledge about, you know, the Marvel universe that I think he'll do it justice. But yeah, and with a movie like The Avengers, it's definitely something that needs done right. It's something that have a good solid director, as something like The Avengers hasn't really been done before. I speak for Marvel fans in general that, you know, y'all watched Iron Man Fury talk about the Avengers, and it's, I mean, that was just spectacular. I think it should be, doing the, like, an Iron Man movie, a Captain America movie, a Thor movie, because I think that way fans can get introduced to the characters. Doesn't waste its time with, you know, the exposition of building the characters. Like, they're kind of already established.
Well, they're obviously already established with the comic books themselves. But it is like you were saying, it is a pretty big deal to make an Avengers movie. I mean, you're talking about a lot of big names in Marvel. Like, it's gonna be definitely not a good thing for Joss Whedon to mess something like that up. I mean, if he wanted, like, I'm not like he would, but if he wanted to, he can mess up any other movies. Like, he can direct another X-Men Origins Wolverine or something ridiculous like that, because it would somehow, in some way, shape, or form, tie into the Avengers. You're allowed to do that. You know, it's just one movie about one specific person, but when you're taking that one specific person or that one specific superhero and throwing him in with a bunch of other superheroes that have had, like, these really good movies, yeah, you're going to expect something big out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think that the Avengers movie is definitely going to, because, you know, you're going to have the Captain America fans, the Thor fans, the Iron Man fans, the Avengers fans, comic book fan. I think a lot of the general public is going to be interested in it. Was really big about Iron Man. Iron Man didn't have a whole lot of hype behind it when it was just trailer. People were like, oh, okay, another comic book movie. And I think what did well for Iron Man was mouth, because I think, you know, went to see it, and then they went home and they're like, hey, man, you gotta go see, you know, it's Iron Man, it's great. And I think that's why it ended up doing so well. I'm personally very excited for Iron Man 2. I don't know about you guys, but...
Yeah, Iron Man 2 looks great. Definitely.
It does look great. I think... I didn't see Iron Man until it was released on Blu-ray or DVD, to be quite honest with you, although I'd heard many great things about it. But it was, like you said, Matt, that... There wasn't a lot of hype to it. So now, you know, now that people saw Iron Man and they were, yeah, I guess it wasn't really, not to say an underdog, you know, an underdog film, but now that it's kind of established itself, or, well, Marvel Studios itself has established themselves, because I believe Iron Man was the first live-action movie that Marvel Studios ever made. You know, a lot of people are going to be expecting good things from it. The new Hulk with Edward Norton was really good, and we also got to see a little more of the Avengers stuff going on since we saw Samuel L. Jackson pop in there.
I think we can all agree that the Hulk with Edward Norton was much better than the 2000 with...
oh, yeah, that thing was garbage.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? I had just recently bought it on Blu-ray, and I was talking to Earl about it, and I said, I bought the Incredible Hulk, and he goes, well, the Incredible Hulk or the good one? You know, that's how, I guess that's how people are going to make their comparisons. I think that was what was cool was that, they didn't rely on the original film with Eric Bana to establish the Hulk. They just kind of, you know, went into it like that, like everyone was supposed to know who the Hulk was or or what he was doing. And so it stood well on its own, and it could appeal to people that already knew about the Hulk or people that, you know, didn't, and they were just going to catch the movie. They did a really good job with that.
Yeah, it's definitely impressive to see how the quality of comic book movies has gone up so much compared to where it was 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, you don't have to say it's good for a comic book movie anymore. I mean, they're good movies that stand on their own. Now, if we could do that with video game movies, then we'd be going somewhere.
Yeah, well, I think as far as video game movies go, if U-Bowl is still going to be alive whenever a video game movie is going to be made, for the most part, it's probably going to be trash. U-Bowl is the biggest blight to movie making in general that I can't deal with it. I mean, the Resident Evil movies, like, for example, the Resident Evil movies are decent, but that's because I guess they kind of went off into their own storyline with all of those, and they're decent movies, and I guess you can't really say that they're video game movies. They're more video game movies or a video game movie by name alone, because it's just dropping a franchise name into it. What's it called? I think you're very, very right about Chad, about the comic book movies being a lot better. And I'm trying to remember which one it was that kind of got things going in the right direction again. Because, well, the Batman, I'd say if any movies were probably really good, I believe it would probably have to start with the original well, not the original, but the Batman, the Tim Burton Batmans. You know,
Batman Begins.
No, not Batman Begins. I'm talking like Tim Burton Batman, like Michael Keaton Batman. Those were generally good movies, comic book movies, and probably some of the only ones that really come to mind for me as far as comic book movies go from, I guess, about 10 or 15 years ago. Or, well, even longer, actually. I believe the first Batman was in 1989? I'm not entirely sure.
I have no idea.
Well, it was long enough, at any rate. I think the next movie that I think I can remember that probably made comic book movies very, a little bit more mainstream, I can't remember which came out first, but it was either Spider-Man or...
It was Spider-Man.
Yeah, okay, because X-Men came after that, but... The first Spider-Man, while it wasn't, I look back on it now, and it wasn't fantastic, or I mean, it seemed like it to me, but I guess I was looking at it in comparison with other comic book movies that I might have seen before.
Oh yeah, at the time it was huge.
I mean,
and that was kind of the catalyst for what we're seeing now. I mean, that was the one that planted the ideas in people's head that, yo, we can probably make one of these that's pretty good.
Remember, to be quite honest with you, when I went to go see X-Men, I believe I was movie hopping with my mom, and my mom, who knows absolutely nothing, like, if anything, very, very bare minimum about comics, she saw X-Men, and she, like, her words after we got out was like, holy shit, that was actually a really good movie. Like, my mom, of all people. And this was, you know, I don't know how many years ago. Excuse me. I think if any like mediocre comic book films that I can remember when things started getting better was either there was obviously the Incredible Hulk, and then there was also I think the Fantastic Four was pretty good, but I mean it definitely wasn't of the in comparison, I guess, of the caliber I guess the Spider-Man movie was, or X-Men. I remember it being pretty good, but nothing crazy, especially not Rise of the Silver Surfer. I wasn't, you know, very pleased with that one.
I've seen a majority of the comic book-based movies. I've seen the crappy Elektra. And I generally like most of them. Obviously, there are some others. The Dark Knight is probably my favorite movie of all time. I love that movie. Saw it three times in the theaters. But yeah, the only ones that I think are horrible are, you know, the Hulk movie, the first, Elektra, and what's it called? Oh, Catwoman.
Oh God, I've never seen Catwoman, but I've heard some pretty miserable things about Catwoman.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a shame. It was a waste of a perfectly good-looking actress for a pretty shitty movie.
An interesting about, like, what we were talking about, DC Comics has kind of observed Marvel the whole, you know, doing time them together. And I think that that's right now. Because, you know, they've got the Batman movie. And then their Lantern, Christopher Nolan, you know, the guy who directed Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, has signed on to do the next Superman remake because they're remaking it again. So, and I think that there's talk to get together. Jeff writes, you know, Green Lantern. He's one of the bigger names at DC right now. And he said the big DC movie come this year. So I personally suspect that it's going to be something along those lines where they say, hey, we're going to set the bricks to make a Justice League movie.
I'd definitely like to see something like that. I mean, I'm pretty sure that DC is going to try and jump the gun, but they're going to jump the gun and get a Justice League movie, because especially with with the other kind of crossover stuff that they've done, like I know all the Crisis storylines, like some of them get kind of convoluted and some of them are supposed to be canon, but they're not because like something stupid happens, you know, whatever. I actually, now that I think about it, Final Crisis might actually be a pretty cool thing to make a movie on, especially since, you know, there's the whole death of Batman and all that kind of stuff that gets in there. But the only other thing is my knowledge of DC Comics isn't as great as, like, I mean, Earl's, for example. I mean, he knows, like, all the kind of, I guess you would want to call them the B-list superheroes for DC Comics. I definitely think that Final Crisis or Justice League would make a pretty cool movie.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I mean, there's definitely a lot of untapped stuff you could do there, I'd say, in the comic book realm. Although, to be fair, I have not read a comic book in my life, so.
Oh, wow.
I'm not nearly the best person to be commenting on such things. I mean, well, I guess I read manga all the time, but as far as, like, legit comic books go, I know almost nothing.
I didn't get really into comics until I guess a couple years ago when I started at this job that I'm at, and most of my coworkers got pretty into it. And it's a pretty expensive habit, you know. Don't get me wrong, but it's fun, especially. And well, then again, in comparison, I guess it isn't that bad because I read a lot of manga too, and you know, those things don't come cheap.
Yeah.
As far as DC and Marvel comics go, I think, you know, what would actually be really cool as far as Marvel comic movies go, is once they start doing this whole deal with the Avengers, is if they start getting into the superhero registration act stuff, and they actually do a big thing of a Civil War. Because, I mean, I know a lot of people that they might not know that much about comics, but they definitely know what's going on with Civil War, because that was just a huge thing. Like, House of M was big, you know, here's Civil War, which is even bigger.
Yeah, that's one of those ones I've definitely heard of before, where I contemplated kind of getting into it there and just never really got around to doing it.
Well, getting into, I mean, mind you, getting into Civil War would actually be pretty good, since a lot of stuff became different. I mean, the events that happened in Civil War led to, or part of the reason why The Amazing Spider-Man kind of had the whole series reboot. You know, since everyone, you know, found out who he was, found out who Peter Parker was in the Civil War, and there was the whole deal that they found his, that they found his grandmother his aunt was with him, and she almost died, or she got very close to, or she actually did end up dying or something like that, because they found him and, you know, they wanted him dead and she took a bullet or something like that. And Civil War's definitely paved the way for a lot of cool stuff. I'd actually like to see that in I'd actually really like to see that in film.
Yeah, I think that'd be interesting to see. I mean, because that's another one where, like the Avengers, I mean, that's got pretty much everyone of note in it. Where, so in that way, it would be kind of risky. I mean, it'd almost be like the last X-Men movie, where you've just got so many big names kind of fighting for screen time that, I mean, you just kind of can't get everyone in there that you want to. Like, that was a big problem with the third X-Men movie, was they had so many people they kind of wanted to focus on that it just didn't really come together cohesively at all.
I think the other issue with X-Men 3 was, I believe, there was the whole deal with the character that played Scott Summers, that he was supposed to be part of the... I believe it's Bryan Singer was the one that directed the first two, if I recall correctly, and he was doing a Superman Returns, and what's this guy's name that I can't remember for the life of me now, that played Scott Summers. He I think his deal was that, you know, he was going to be very involved in that, so there was the whole killing off Cyclops bit, and then they killed off Professor Xavier or whatever, because Halle Berry was complaining that she wasn't getting enough screen time, and, you know, that there was just a lot of things that went wrong with that movie, other than the fact that the plot was just kind of stupid. And that, I mean, that also was the plot development that the whole X-Men movie franchise was taking because of the second movie. You know, it was a little convoluted in the first one, and then it kind of started getting a little stupider, and then it just went just kind of flat out retarded when Brett Ratner got in there. Spider-Man 3 was another, I want to say that 2 was a bad one, but I don't feel it was. I actually feel it was probably the best out of the three. But the third one was definitely a step in the wrong direction, especially with Dancing Tobey Maguire in the streets of New York.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd say the second one, I don't know why it got such a bad rap, but yeah, I was fine with the second one. I didn't even finish the third one. I got like halfway through and said, yep, this is, I've had enough. And then I think I went to sleep. So clearly that didn't leave a big impression.
I was going to say, I hope you didn't actually go to the theater, because I did, and I'm not really a fan. Sorry about that, guys. Skype crashed for some reason. Matt, you're still with us? Is Matt here? Or is your mic still out? No, I can't hear you. That Mario lover can edit this all out at any rate, but what was it? Yeah, man, I had the misfortune of going to see Spider-Man 3 in the movie theater, so I kind of feel bad. I don't think I've ever gotten up and out of the theater from a movie that I think is just terrible. I mean, I kind of stuck through it. It's kind of a waste of money, especially considering how expensive movies are. There. Matt, say something for me.
Hello?
Yeah, there we are. All right, we were actually just, we actually kind of strayed off to where, like, just kind of how, like, when comic book movies, how they had like this huge catalyst and then they just kind of declined after a little while. Like with, for example, like with the original Incredible Hulk movie and like Spider-Man 3 and shit like that.
Yeah.
Say whatever you have to say. I'm sure that Mario lover can edit whatever it is out after, like afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's already two audio files because for some reason my Skype crashed. Yeah, sounds like a good idea. Okay, so Chad is out, correct?